It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web.
Live it off the wall.
Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shearn.
Nothing like a little Eminem to get you pumped up on a hump day, a Wednesday, July 29th, 2009, the day we're taping our second go-round of this podcast here on YesNetwork.com, entitled Off the Wall. Once again, as I promote my blog as well, Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. It's the same as the podcast, same title. And let's get right into it, and let's get right to the Yankees. Last time we left you, the Yankees were up a game on the Red Sox, a single solitary game, but they were in first place. After losing 8 to the Red Sox, they still had a game lead on Boston on the very first day we taped the Off the Wall blog. So fast forward to this week, Yankees are 2.5 games up. It's 2.5 on the Red Sox.
Something. They're looking
and
good right now.
To my knowledge, Joe.
Yes.
They still haven't beaten them.
Yes, they've lost 8 in a row to this team, and they are in first place by 2.5 games. It's amazing.
Know, and we did this trip the last couple of days where in 24 hours, we went to 3 minor league parks. It was, you know, the stars were aligned or something. All these minor league teams in the tri-state area were home, and we were able to do this. We went to Trenton Monday at 7. We saw them play,
yes,
the Harrisburg Senators. Then we went to Staten Island on Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. I threw the first pitch out in both of those games. You could see video of that later. We'll get to that later in the podcast. You could see video of this later this week on YesNetwork.com. And also
on the BP show on Wednesday night.
On the BP show as well. And then Tuesday night, we were in Scranton, so we drove from Staten Island to Scranton.
Which was a bit, yesterday was a killer day for us. Tuesday was a killer day for us.
We ran the gamut, and it was a great time. We'll talk about that later, but I got to tell you, getting the pulse of the fans and talking to them at these minor league ballparks, and it's pretty much a melting pot of baseball fans at these minor league parks.
Yes.
They're not necessarily Yankee fans. Most of the fans there, pretty much Yankee fans, but you find a pretty good percentage of the fans that go to these games are people who just love baseball.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
That's A, because let's face it, it's inexpensive. You're close to the game. You could hear everything that's going on. But the Yankee fans I talked to at these games in Trenton and Staten Island and in Scranton all told me the same thing. The season will not be complete until the Yankees figure out how to beat the Red Sox. Now, myself, I really don't get that. I mean, I could see it, but I don't get it because...
Well, I mean, Francisco Cervelli told us that yesterday, basically.
Well, he said he wanted Boston.
Yes.
That's all he said. He wasn't upset that they didn't beat him yet. He just said he wants Boston. What Yankee player wouldn't want Boston?
No, I know.
I mean, that's the thing. But as a whole, it has to be in their psyche a little bit. You can't deny that. But from a fan's point of view, can you just be happy for 2 seconds of your life?
You're on the net. You said it last week. You definitely are on the negative Yankee fan kick. I haven't heard as much negativity this week. It seems like since the beginning of this little winning streak run here after the Angels series, it seems like Yankee fans all of a sudden are back on the Yankee bandwagon. We're going to the World Series, even though they haven't beaten the Red Sox yet.
And having said that, there were also Yankee fans who aren't satisfied with the roster, and they want Roy Halladay.
Well, I mean, now there's rumors coming out that the Red Sox are going to land Roy Halladay, that they have a strong package on the table.
Well, that was put out by YahooSports.com, and now I heard on ESPN this morning that that's really not going to happen.
It's unlikely.
The Red Sox poo-pooed it, but you never know. around July 31st if poo-poo smells bad or poo-poo smells good.
That's true. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, especially in the rivalry. I mean, the Red Sox can see that the Yankees right now are the better squad, and they might need to go out and get that one ace that's... I mean, they have Beckett and Lester. They might want to add Halliday to that rotation.
CC Sabathia against the Rays on Tuesday. Just, you know, he spit the bit. I don't know what else there is to say. I mean, the guy gives you length. The guy gives you a lot of pitches. He threw 109 pitches over 5 2/3 innings. So he didn't really give him length on Tuesday night. But when you're talking about the ace of this staff, you know, that word is bandied about. It's thrown out there all the time. When you talk about CC Sabathia, yeah. But right now, if you had to pick an ace, it's AJ Burnett and the Yankees.
Without question,
the Yankees rotation could be in trouble, and they might. Brian Cashman's hand might be forced to make a deal here, because as we were discussing yesterday, and you brought up the point, when Jabba's innings limit comes around, he's going out to the bullpen. So that means, as it stands right now, if you don't bring Phil Hughes out of the bullpen, which he's been tremendous in.
Oh yeah.
You're going to have A.J. Burnett, CC Sabathia, Andy Pettitte, and Sergio Mitre, who is a very serviceable number five.
And first of
becomes
all,
your number four.
And you know what? Andy Pettitte is a number four right now. There is no way Andy Pettit's a number three at this point in his career.
So we were talking yesterday. I'll give you the floor. There's a couple possibilities out there. Who's the most realistic? And I'll throw three at you.
Okay.
Jared Washburn from Seattle.
Okay.
You got Cliff Lee from the Indians.
Right.
And you got the penultimate in Roy Halladay. So, Joe, you have the floor. Filibuster, my friend.
Of the three, I personally believe that Cliff Lee is going to go to the Phillies. I think that the Blue Jays are going to hold on to Halladay. After all of this, I think nothing is going to happen, and they're going to hold on to Halladay. And I think the Yankees are going to wind up landing Jared Washburn.
Well, what kind of... See... I have no problem with the Yankees picking up Washburn because he's having a great season, as discussed in the past.
Actually, he just lowered his ERA last night, which could be his last Mariner start, to 2.64 on the season.
How much are you willing to give up for this guy?
And that's the other thing. I mean, he's at a point right now where he's a lefty, he's got playoff experience, and he's having a career year. He's also a Boris client, which means that at the end of the year, when his free agency
he's going to get paid
because he's having a career year.
Yeah.
With that being said, the Yankees are probably going to have to, if they want to get Jared Washburn, they're going to have to give up at least one A-level prospect.
Well, who would that be? If you're Brian Cashman, let me put you in the GM shoes right now. Who are you giving me for Jared Washburn?
Well, Yankee fans aren't going to want to hear this because they're going to want to hold on to players, but... You know, I'm sure the
Mariners... It's a tough decision. That's why we're talking about it.
But the ultimate goal here is to, when you're making a trade, it always has to be, you have to give up something to get something. And if you want to win this year, and if you think Jared...
Stop dancing around the subject. Give me the player.
Jesus Montero.
That's tough.
Yankee fans aren't going to want to hear it. It's going to be either Jesus. They're not going to give up Austin Jackson. That might be the original asking price, but it might be Jesus Montero and then two mid-level prospects or one mid-level prospect.
We talked to Jesus in Trenton.
Yes.
Super
great
kid. Rocket for an arm. But you seem to think if the Yankees do keep this kid, he's not going to be a catcher.
No, I don't. I think he's too tall to be a catcher. I also think that he's going to be a good hitter. I just don't think he possesses the defensive skills that they need. I think Francisco Cervelli is certainly a good defensive answer to be the Yankees' future catcher. But I think if they're going to have Montero, they're going to have to move him to a power position.
Well, I think in order to compete this year for the World Series, the Yankees are definitely going to have to make a move for another starter. That's just the way it's shaping out right now. Josh Towers, we saw him down in Scranton yesterday. Yeah. He was a starter for the Blue Jays.
Right.
Yankees got him on Scranton Wilkes-Barre, and you know what? He didn't do anything to impress me last night. So I don't think he could come up. So if that was your plan, if you were to think that he could find some magic down there and bring it up to the majors, you're going to have that as your 4-5, Josh Towers and Sergio Mitre. You can't live with that, and you can't expect to go into the playoffs with that, especially if the Red Sox go out and acquire Roy Halladay. If that's the case, I mean, you have to go out and you have to make that pitching staff stronger, because I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, and I'll say it until there's not a breath left in my body. If you don't have starting pitchers, if you don't have the horses, you will never win a short playoff series, meaning you'll never win the World Series.
Right. They need the pitching, and that's the key. Some other pitchers that have been, names have been bandied about for the Yankees. A guy with playoff experience, John Garland of the Diamondbacks. Not as good as Jared Washburn, but he does have American League experience. He does have World Series experience.
Is Mark Burley available?
Yeah. Clement's name has, not Clement, Garland's name has come up. You know, Ian Snell was a guy that had come up from the Pirates.
What about Zach Duke?
Zach Duke could come up, but I did want to just make this announcement. The Pirates and the Mariners have made a trade. It's a 7-player deal. The Mariners acquired Jack Wilson and Ian Snell, so that he's off the table, for Jeff Clement, Ronnie Cedeno, and three other low-level prospects. Hmm. So what that tells me is that either the Mariners are all of a sudden become buyers and Washburn all of a sudden might not become available, or they acquired Snell to move into Washburn's spot because they think they're going to trade Washburn.
Well, it should be interesting over the next couple of days to see what shakes out. Let's move on now, and let's talk about Brett Gardner. I have to vent a little bit about this because, you know, a lot of people, especially in this company, laughed in my face when I thought Brett Gardner should be the starting center fielder on this team, and because of all the intangibles he brings with his speed. And his on-base percentage is going up, and he's starting to take a lot more pitches. He's starting to walk more.
Right.
And this is a kid, I'm not going to compare him to Ricky Henderson, but Henderson used to turn singles into doubles, walks into doubles.
Right.
That's where the comparison ends with Ricky Henderson. So don't think I'm comparing Brett Gardner to Ricky Henderson. I'm not. But if you walk this kid, or if he squeaks an infield single here, or if he shoots one into the gap, a double's a triple,
mm-hmm.
and a single's a double. Or a walk is a double.
Right.
Now, I find it laughable that most of the Yankee fans on Twitter, because I've been doing it since the beginning of the year, were all against having this kid in the lineup until they saw what he could do. Who's this kid? I'd rather have a veteran here. I heard Mike Cameron. I heard
The Melky for Cameron trade was supposed to go down, and that didn't.
I heard, you know, other washed-up center fielders that they wanted to bring in here who would be older guys, veterans. And guess what, Yankee fans? Overpaid and probably underperforming. And you'd be killing them right now. I don't know what Cameron's numbers are right now. Maybe if you could look that up really quick. But the thing I have to say to Yankee fans is, shame on you.
You know
who you are. Shame on you. Because now that this kid is hurt, he broke his thumb, all you people who didn't want him on the team are now saying, what are we going to do without Brett? Stop. Because you know you didn't want him on the team to begin with. Okay? I did. 2005, and you could say, you're not Stick Michael Chris. You're not an evaluator of baseball talent.
You're not Stick Michael Chris.
I'm not. I'm not. I'll tell you what. I played the game my entire life.
Oh, you're right.
And yeah. I still play it today. And I was in that dugout, and that kid laid a bunt down. And I blinked my eyes, and he was at first base. And I said, he might not be a starter. He might not be an everyday player. Sooner or later, that kid is going to be in the Bronx, and he's going to be making an impact on the Yankees. And you know what? I never toot my own horn, but today, honk, honk, I'm tooting my own horn on Brett Gardner.
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that he does that Francisco Cervelli and some of these other kids do is they bring an excitement to the team. It's an intangible the Yankees haven't had in a long time. Gardner, with his blazing speed and his great personality, he is exactly kind of what the doctor ordered this year. I mean, that's what the Yankees needed in this clubhouse. That's what they needed on this team. And you know what? Melky Cabrera has stepped up. And he's, you know, answered the challenge because he didn't have anybody on his coattails. Now, with this platoon, it seems to have lit a little bit of a firecracker up his behind a little bit.
Well, yeah, to put it, you know, in a kindergarten type way, yes.
Yeah, you know?
In an internet safe way.
Yes. Mike Cameron, by the way, 249 this year, 14 home runs, 43 RBIs, 4 stolen bases, and of course, he strikes out a lot. He's got 89 strikeouts.
There you go. That's what you wanted? Really? That's what you wanted? He has, what, 11 more home runs than Brett Gardner? I'd rather have what Brett brings to the table in his intangibles than the 11 more home runs that Cameron
has. And he doesn't hit that way. He doesn't hit well. He's just, he's a strikeout guy. He's always been a strikeout guy.
Well, I right before we started taping this, I turned to our intern, Michelle, who's in here with us as we tape this podcast this week, and I said, hope that green tea kicks in. And guess what?
It's kicked in. You're here. You're ready to go.
Kicking in.
You are ready to go.
Baby McKenzie had me up, but woo! Thank you, Arizona green tea.
Feeling good right now.
All right, as we move on, this is something that really ticked me off. And you said it yesterday, and I let it go, and then I heard it today on talk radio. I'm not going to say what show I heard it on.
Okay.
But I heard it today. And you could debate me on this in the spot.
I'm sure I'm going to. Let's go. Let's hear what you have to say.
You told me yesterday that the game with the Yankees and Tampa was a big game because if the Rays win, they're 6.5 back and they go from sellers to buyers. Pretty much.
I said that to you yesterday?
Pretty much.
I don't remember that ever coming out of my mouth.
You did.
But what I said was that it was a big, all I said to you yesterday was that the first game was a big win for the Yankees. That's what I said to you. If they got the first win out of the box, that's a big win for the Yankees because then
they would bury Tampa. That's what you said.
That's what I said.
So I digress.
Oh, come on.
I digress.
Trying to throw me under the bus here. Oh my God. Chris, I said they would go to 7.5 back.
All right. I was wrong.
You're wrong.
All right. Well, let me tell you what
I'm going to debate you on the wrongness.
I misremembered.
Oh, man.
It just comes to my brain and it comes out of my mouth. I'm sorry.
And into a needle.
But this... Anywho, this is what I was mad about. Coming in, listening to talk radio, as I always do, I hear this come out of one of the talkies' mouths. As he's introducing Evan Longoria to his program.
Right.
Yesterday was a huge game, a huge win against the Yankees, because if you win that game, your team turns on a dime from buyers or from sellers to buyers.
Right.
Now, this logic
is ridiculous.
Is ridiculous. Because let me throw this at you.
Okay.
That means what you're telling me is if the Yankees beat the Rays Wednesday, they would go 7.5 games back up.
Right.
Which is where they were. So do you go from sellers to buyers to sellers again?
It doesn't make
any
sense.
Is it me or is it just completely asinine to even bring that up? And when he posed the question to Longoria, he was like, well, you know, well, the way you prefaced it, yeah, but every game's a big game.
At this point for them.
How the hell do you ask a professional player
I agree.
On the air if a game is a big game?
Every game is a big game for every team, and it's especially big for the Tampa Bay Rays right now because they just need wins. They need wins.
Well, I apologize to you, Joe, for trying to throw you under the bus and put words in your mouth.
I wouldn't say that. But I will say this. They might be selling Scott Kazmir. They've already talked about shopping him.
Hasn't had a really good season, but that start last night against the Yankees probably upped his value and his ante to other teams. And his former team, the Mets, is where we will go next when we come back here on the podcast. A lot of interesting calls on the New York Metropolitans, and we'll get to those in our third segment, so you'll have to stick around for those. One was tremendous and had Joe and I both doubled over in laughter, and we will be definitely playing that one for everyone to hear. We don't mean to laugh at the Mets'
bad
fortunes, but you know what? We got a lot of calls on the Mets. I know this is the Yes Network and a Yankees podcast for the most part, but we are catering to the masses, Mr. Auriemma.
That's right.
We have to talk.
It's a New York show.
We have to talk Mets. I even got a Rangers call this week, so maybe we'll delve into hockey in the phone segment as well. But when we come back, we will talk about the Mets, and that's next on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to check out some of the best Yankee blogs on the web? Go to yesnetwork.com and check out their lineup of bloggers. First, it's Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Off the Wall with Chris Sheeran, Cott's Corner with Jim Cott, The Yes Blog, and many, many more. For the best Yankee coverage on the web, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
What's up, Off the Wall? My name's Dave. I'm calling from Queens. Just calling to voice my displeasure with the organization known as the Mets. What is going on here? It's been another year of heartbreak and letdowns. Now we're getting reports that Tony Bernazar thinks he's the Hulk and he's ripping his shirt off to threaten Double-A players. Come on, guys. What's going on with all our injured guys? Nobody can tell us anything. What is going on? Where are we shipping these guys to rehab? Jupiter? I haven't heard anything about any of these guys being any kind of updated on their injuries. I don't know what's going on. Beltran has the worst bone bruise I've ever heard of. He's been gone for a month. He's disappeared. Reyes disappeared. Delgado disappeared. I had enough. And then they have the nerve to call me and ask me if I want to purchase a season ticket package for the rest of the year. Get real, guys. Let's get it together.
That Dave from Queens, that call from last week.
That's a great call.
Was from last week. It fell through the cracks somehow. And we listened to it when we were looking at this week's calls. And Joe and I both agreed we were getting it in there because it was just a tremendous, tremendous call. Dave, we apologize for not getting it in last week, but we did start off our Mets segment with it this week. And since Dave has called, Tony Bernazar has definitely been fired.
Correct.
By the Mets, but the joke that this has been, I mean, Omar Minaya comes out and defends this clown for some reason, who knows, and he gets on Adam Rubin from the Daily News for, you know, having a vendetta
against Bernazar.
Yeah, to get Bernazar out.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. This guy has been nothing but
a cancer.
A cancer to the organization, the whole Willie Randolph situation.
Let me tell you, Willie, we talked about this last week too, and you know, I'm a big believer in karma. Huge, gigantic believer in karma. And guess what? Willie Randolph is on the bench in Milwaukee, and he looks like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great. He looks great, man. I'll say this. This organization is in complete disarray right now. Complete. Jeff Wilpon coming out yesterday. Originally, he gave Omar a vote of confidence. Now, he didn't give Omar a vote of confidence. Saying that Omar should apologize for what he said, it's laughable. That's what it is. It's laughable, Chris.
This is how I think about this. I don't think Jerry Manuel, I don't think his job should be in jeopardy. I mean, this guy has had to deal with injuries like no other team has had to deal with. Maybe the Angels and Mike Socha, but you could just see, you know, how far apart those two organizations are with their younger kids. Having said that, the AA and AAA Mets
are a total
abysmal.
Joke.
Abysmal. We talked about that last week, too. But I really don't think, I mean, if you wanted to fire Manuel, I think it's a benign move. You really can't be malicious about it. What's the guy supposed to do? How is he going to push? You don't push buttons on guys who might be 4A players who just aren't there yet in F-Mart. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of that kid. They brought him up.
I'm gonna
he's not really having a good season, and you could take the other side. That's fine. I think Jerry Manuel should be okay, but the flip side of that, which I know this is probably where you're gonna go, and it's probably the right decision. If you're gonna clean house, clean house. If you're gonna get rid of Omar, get rid of Manuel, get rid of everything that Omar put together, and just start over fresh.
I think this organization. That's exactly where I was going. Needs to start over. And you know what? Manuel might not be the guy just because, look, Jerry Manuel's a great guy. He's calm. He reads Gandhi. I mean, he is a believer in the Zen-like life. And maybe they need a manager to come in and put a firecracker under these guys. I mean, literally, I think they need
Bobby
a guy.
Bobby Valentine comes to mind.
Bobby V comes to mind. They should have taken the opportunity to hire Lou Piniella when they have the chance.
No.
And I know that's over and done with. He's in Chicago, but you need a manager like a Lou Piniella to come in here and just kind of light a fire under these kids.
How do you defend Tony Bernazar?
You can't.
We go back to last week. He ripped his shirt off, like Dave said. He thinks he's the Hulk. Allegedly ripped his shirt off. But I guess, you know, the investigation...
It's still continuing.
Which is still continuing. Found out he must have done something. But the charge was there was a bunch of drinking going on with the AA team. They're in dead last. And who does that go back to? If a team's poor play gets back to the manager, if the vice president of player personnel is in charge of the AA and AAA teams and they're not performing, who should it come down to?
It should come down to him. And to defend him. I mean...
I don't get it. Maybe
here's the thing I don't get, Chris, is the fact that Bernazard... It's not the fact that Bernazard, you know, this guy investigated him and was on a witch hunt. It was the fact that he did it.
Yeah.
I don't get what Omar is trying to defend here. This is something he did. This is something that should not go on in professional sports. And it happened. And for Omar to come out and defend that, it is absolutely crazy to me.
This from Brian Costello in the New York Post in the Mets notes. Have to read this. Mets owner Jeff Wilpon was asked if he has concerns about his team's doctors and trainers who have been widely criticized for their handling of several injured players. Wilpon said, "Not at all. I know you guys don't like the way the information comes to you. A lot of times the misinformation is coming out when we're on the road and we don't have our doctor seeing the player. When our doctors see the player, I think we're much more cognizant and clear with the information coming out. We'll try and do a better job with that as well." So Dave, as to your...
sending him to Jupiter.
As to your comment about sending the guys to Jupiter, I don't think that's the case. And that's directly from your owner, Jeff Wilpon.
You know what, though? They mishandled the Ryan Church concussion incident. The man, he was obviously hurt. He was the best player on the Mets the first couple of months of the year last year. He got the concussion, and they still made him play through it. He hasn't been the same player since that.
And
Beltran, I mean, same deal. Delgado, everybody in the world knew Delgado was going to go on the DL, and they made him fly to the West Coast.
And Manuel said Jose Reyes is somewhat progressing, quote unquote. Reyes has not run the bases yet. Manuel said when he does, he will play in a rehabilitation game a few days later. Now, wasn't his injury a hamstring? Or a quad?
Quad, yeah.
A quad. And how long has he been out?
And Beltran, they mishandled him as well.
The bone bruise now could be a career-ending knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's like misinformation, that's some pretty big misinformation. I just don't know how this team is just, you know, you see the headlines. It's just a mess right now. It's a mess. And like I told Yankee fans, if you're not happy being 2.5 games up on the Red Sox, you go to Citi Field.
It's
you can wear the Dodger blue and giant orange for a while. See how that feels.
I mean, it is just here's the Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes has tendonitis behind his right calf. So that was the official injury. Tendonitis in the calf.
So now, you know, around this, it was before the All-Star break last year, wasn't it? In May when Willie got fired?
Yeah.
So pretty much a couple months, maybe 14 months later, not only is Bernazard, the guy who helped get Willie out of here, gone.
Yeah.
But now, Manaea, everybody wants Manaea's head.
He's on the hot seat. This is all him now.
And Manuel would probably go with him, and I know I said it, but it was basically what you were thinking, just clean house and start all over again. And, you know, Omar has had plenty of time to put a team together.
Look, you know, he put a team together, and that team went to the NLCS in 2006. But since then, it's been a disaster. They've collapsed 2 years in a row, and what has he shown about the minor league system? Okay, they've had a lot of injuries this year. But a good general manager has a wealth of depth in their minor league system so that in case something like this happens, they can call people up that are not AAA players, that can step into a role where they're not going to be as good as, you know, Carlos Beltran, but can be serviceable.
All right, Joe, that's where we're going to end the Mets discussion for now. When we come back, though, we'll get to more Mets calls and some Yankee calls as well, and maybe some other kind of calls. Who knows? Maybe there's a basketball question in there. Maybe there's a hockey question in there.
Going to have to stay to find out.
You are. You want to learn about the Rangers? Then you're going to have to keep it right here. On Off the Wall, right here on YesNetwork.com. We're back right after this. Everybody's coming down.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee coverage on the web. Insightful blogs, original content, and great video make YesNetwork.com your one-stop source for the 26-time world champion.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Thank you very much, Teddy. Joe, I heard it through the grapevine. We are going to take some phone calls here.
You are the king of the segue.
Hi-yo! We're going to get right to it. Tito in Staten Island, and he has a question about the Yankees.
Hi, it's Tito from Staten Island. I'm just wondering if the Chin Ming Wong injury is career-ending. I would like your thoughts on that. Thanks.
According to Wednesday's New York Post, they're not going to know really anything until the surgery is over Wednesday morning. It's an arthroscopic procedure on Chin Ming Wong. Dr. James Andrews,
the king of the
world
surgery,
renowned yeah. Dr. James Andrews, will be performing the arthroscopic surgery on the right shoulder capsule, which is a fibrous membrane that surrounds the shoulder joint and contains ligaments that stabilize the joint. Joe Girardi and the Yankees, like I said, will not know if this is career threatening until the surgery is over. But if it is career threatening, that's a huge blow.
That is a huge blow. As for it being a loss this year, they really didn't get anything from him at all anyway. He was one of the worst pitchers in the league statistically. But they thought that he was going to come back and be that 19-game winner. They were counting on it, and they're not going to have it. They're not going to have him for the remainder of this year, and hopefully, you know, he can come back next year at some point.
All right, our next call is Agnes from Baltimore with another Yankee question. Agnes, take it away.
Hi, this is Agnes from Baltimore. Do you think the Yankees would be giving up too much with A-level prospects for Jared Washburn?
See, we talked about this earlier in our first segment about the Yankees and possibly bringing in Jared Washburn. It depends on what you mean by A-list.
Right.
It depends on what the Yankees give up. Now, would I give up, as Joey said, Jesus Montero? I wouldn't. But the Yankees are kind of in a pickle where they might have to because, as we discussed, Jabba Chamberlain, his innings limit is coming to its max. He's going to go out to the bullpen. Now, the Yankees are going to have to, they're going to force their hand. All right, do we start lengthening Phil Hughes out maybe now? Or do we say we can't do that because this guy's pitching so well in the bullpen and he has so much confidence? The back end of the bullpen could be our strength.
Right.
And if that's the case, Joe, help me out here. They're going to need another
really,
starter.
It's really, they're at a point where they say, okay, well, the next option is either Sevis or Hughes, where they have to lengthen them out to be starters. But then you're taking a strength of the team, and you're just weakening it. So.
And Sevis' shoulder is barking. He said he knows the difference. He also said he knows the difference between pain in your shoulder, which forces you not to pitch, and also pain in the shoulder that allows you to pitch. And he said this pain in his shoulder will allow him to pitch. It's just that it's a little fatigued and he needs some time to regroup.
Right. You know, just my thoughts on this, Chris. Honestly, I know you don't think that they should give up an A-level prospect. One thing that the Yankees, I really think they need to do in the second half is they need to beat the Boston Red Sox. They need to make the postseason. And they need to make a deep run into the postseason. That's what everybody expects this year. That's what everybody expected when they signed these big contracts in the offseason. And if that means going out and giving up a blue-chip prospect to get a guy who's having a career year, then I think it needs to be done.
We'll make the playoffs as, you know, that's laughable. They have to make the playoffs.
Right.
Contend for the World Series. I think we're both in agreement they're going to have to make a move, and they're probably going to have to part with one of the guys they might not want to part with.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, that's what trades are all about, though, Chris. I mean, you have to give up something to get something.
Absolutely. It's like that in life, too. All right, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to head into the football arena, and we're going to take a call. We don't know her name, but she is a loyal Giants fan.
Hi, this is a loyal Giants fan from New Jersey, and I just think that what's going on with Antonio Pierce is completely bogus.
All right, this is interesting, because my father always told me when I was growing up, and Michelle, your father probably told you this too.
Michelle Myers is here with us.
Yes.
Say hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thank you. Just so everybody could put a voice with the name that I'm throwing out there. But my father always told me, make sure you know who you're hanging out with.
Yes.
Make sure you know what they have on them. And make sure you're not around any drugs, and make sure you're not around any alcohol, and make sure you're not around any firearms, because if you're caught with that person, you get grouped in with that person. Now, is it a raw deal that Antonio Pierce may get indicted for this, for just helping a friend because that's what he was doing? Yes, I'll admit that. But he was helping a friend who had an illegal firearm on his person, fired a shot, and this could have been a lot worse. So Antonio Pierce, that night, should have made the proper visual, you know, check of Plaxico Burst to, hey, you got a gun? I'm going home. I don't need this. We're in the middle of the season. What are you doing?
My whole thing is, and it's not right. It's not the right thing. But football players, this is part of their lifestyle. They, if you've, you know, if you've seen a lot of the reports that have gone on lately, that a lot of them carry firearms with them. And, you know, if you're friends with a person, it's, and it's the norm that, you know, 70 or 80% of the league is carrying firearms, I mean, I don't know.
I can't remember who said it. It might have been, I think it was a former football player. You know what? It was Tony Siragusa. Tony Siragusa. He went to a club with some players.
And he left.
And at the door, there was a metal detector.
Right.
And he said, if there has to be a metal detector here, I'm not going to be here. Turned around, and he went home.
So, you know, I mean, I agree with that. All I'm saying is that Antonio Pierce was there, whether he knew if Plaxico had a firearm or didn't.
And that club has, you know, a track record of stuff happening in it.
Right. But if he knows or he doesn't know, literally, he's just helping a friend. I think, to me, the city of New York and Mike Bloomberg, who's going for re-election, I think this has something to do with it. He wants to show that
zero tolerance.
He wants a zero tolerance.
It's on subways. It's posted all over the city. If you have a firearm, you're in jail for 3 years or more.
But there have been a lot worse things that players have done over the years than what Antonio Pierce did that night. And they've gotten a slap on the wrist. And for a guy who's had a clean record his whole career, I think a warning should be done. No indictments. I just think he should just be warned. Maybe it's just because I'm a Giant fan.
Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world, and Plaxico Burress fired the shot that killed the Giants season last
year. Oh, it really did.
And just for our listeners, did your father discuss that with you when you were growing up? Watch who you're hanging out with?
Yeah. Always.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle, for hammering that point home. All right. We're going to move along. And for the record, I'm a Giant fan as well. And I'm a big fan of Antonio Pierce. But you just got to be careful. You got to be careful. And, you know, he should be upset at Burris for the rest of his life. I know he's his boy. But, you know, he put him in a tough spot. He put him in an awkward, tough spot. And now he might have to pay for it. And we're going to stick with football now. And we'll go to Peter in Greenwich, Connecticut, and we'll see what Peter has to talk about. Peter, take it away.
Hey, this is Peter calling from Greenwich. I was wondering if you see Michael Vick playing in the NFL this season, and if so, what team you think will take a chance on him?
All right, well, Peter, Michael Vick is pretty much, you know, prevalent, besides Brett Favre being in the news, which won't happen anymore, hopefully, because Favre officially announced he was finally not going to play anymore. So now the Vikings could get on with their collective lives.
And try to live
with Sage Rosenfels.
If I had to live one more day with Rachel Nichols, watching her on TV down in Mississippi. I felt bad for the girl. I really did feel bad for the girl.
At stately Favre Manor.
she was doing her due diligence, but oh my God.
No, it's just that's the culture we live in today.
And now there's stories coming out today. You know, Brett Favre just announces his retirement yesterday, and now they're saying, well, you know, there is an open possibility that he might be available mid-season.
That was bus cooked. That was his agent. He was stirring the pot with that.
God.
And you know what? I would not be shocked that if somebody needed a quarterback in week 8, week 10, if Favre keeps working out and doesn't have to endure the rigors of the entire NFL season, all the emotional stuff and all the physical stuff, let's face it, this guy...
Yeah, no, I know. Well, and Peter is actually talking about another quarterback that's going to be available, you know, Michael Vick. I mean,
Michael Vick.
You know,
sorry for going out on a tangent.
We did go on with it, but here, you know, Michael Vick, Chris.
But it's the same thing. Before you make your point, it's the same thing with Vick. We won't know about his reinstatement till week 6. By that time, usually there's 2 or 3 starting quarterbacks who are maybe out for the year or on the mend.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? Teams who are not interested in Vic now because of what he did off the field are going to be chomping at the bit to get this guy.
But literally.
That's bad. Hey, I'm a dog lover. That don't put that in my mouth.
Is he going to be on a short leash?
Oh, God. I'm not going there. I refuse to go there. My Humane Society friends.
I apologize.
I am not going there. But I think someone around week 8, Week 9. If the commissioner's not even going to comment on this till week 6.
Yes.
So it's immaterial. He might get a 4-game suspension then.
Yeah.
So he might not be available till week 10. But if a team needs a quarterback and they're teetering on the brink of a playoff extinction and they know they're going to get Michael Vick in week 10, sign him, get him up to speed on the offense.
Yeah.
Get him in shape. Which I'm pretty sure he's going to stay in shape until he gets picked up by somebody. I really think, Peter, he will play in the NFL again, and I really think a team with a need will go after him. Because let's face it, it's all about the W's when it comes down to it.
Right. And look, here's the other thing.
A coach might want to save his job, a GM might want to save his job, and Michael Vick might be the savior.
Well, Peter King of SI, you know, a lot of people know who Peter King is. He's reporting that the Patriots might have an interest in Michael Vick. The NFL didn't say that he couldn't work out in the times that he was off until he's officially reinstated after week 6. The Patriots might want him to back up Tom Brady and maybe play that kind of slash role that Cordell Stewart played with the Pittsburgh Steelers all those years. And in fact, another team that we've heard that is interested is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, I mean, it's just that's an intangible that they haven't had in a while. But by the same token, this country, we talk about, you know, all the problems that he's had. I personally think, you know, what he did was wrong. He paid his debt to society. He deserves a second chance. And, you know, one of these teams is gonna really make a push for him.
This is the time for second chances.
Yes.
And Michael Vick deserves one, as well. People might hate him out there for what he did, and rightly so. You know, I know I have a close friend who owns pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think they're, you know, bad dogs, you think they're dangerous dogs, they could be if they're brought up and they're trained that way. But my friend saved 2 pit bulls who were burned with cigarettes, who were burned with cigars.
Just awful.
Who were in fighting rings. And right now, they're just happy
to be alive.
They're happy dogs. They're happy to be treated the way they should be treated. It's all about the way they're brought up, and it's all about the environment they're in.
No, you're right.
You know, think what you want about pit bulls, and oh, they were just pit bulls. That's what they do. They kill things. No, they're dogs. You know, they can't make their own decisions. Those decisions were made for them. But as Joey said, Michael Vick paid his debt to society. He knows what he did is wrong. And he deserves a second chance. And
just
there will be
that.
A team.
There will be a team.
There will be a
team. And the NFL has the right man mentoring Michael Vick right now, and that's Tony Dungy. Absolutely, 100%, they have the right man doing it.
All right, Joey, we're gonna go full circle, and we're gonna go back to a Yankee question, and for a little comedy, we go to Jaquita
from Bogota.
Hi, this is Jaquita from Bogota. I'm just giving a call because this is very sports related. I was just wondering if we ever thought that Derek Jeter will settle down and marry.
That sounds a little personal, Jaquita. That sounds like maybe you have your eye on the captain. I can't really answer that. That's something you would have to run onto the field, and I don't really support that. But that's something you would have to scream to him while he's at shortstop and ask him yourself. I have no idea. That's Jeter's deal, and you know what? God bless the captain.
Hasn't been married all these years.
And, you know,
you have to respect that.
He did it right. He didn't get involved. He didn't settle down. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and if he wants to do it in the future, that's up to him.
Well, he's dating. Who's he dating right now? He's.
I can't keep up.
Yeah, Minka Kelly.
Yeah, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup. It could be Michelle all I know right now.
Minka Kelly is very pretty. Another, I know over the years.
Was she on The Hills or The OC?
I don't know.
Then I really wouldn't know who she
no,
is.
No, I don't.
Don't get me started.
I don't know what she...
Don't get me started on reality shows because this will turn into like a 7-hour podcast.
All I know is over the years, we've heard rumors about Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel and Mariah Carey and now Minka Kelly.
I get those same rumors. My wife... You know, she hates it.
You know what?
I get linked to all these supermodels and actresses all the time.
It's the sexiness with the baldness.
Yeah. And on that note, thank you for injecting a little humor into our call segment, Jaquita. We don't have Jeter's number. We don't have his email address. You're going to have to do that on your own. Okay, when we come back, we're going to wrap things up, and Jolie and I are going to discuss our three-team... 24-hour road trip that we just took this past week. It was AAA, AA, single A in a single day. That's next when we come back next.
Want to check out some of the best Yankee blogs on the web? Go to yesnetwork.com and check out their lineup of bloggers. First, it's Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Off the Wall with Chris Sheeran, Cott's Corner with Jim Cott, The Yes Blog, and many, many more. For the best Yankee coverage on the web, it's yesnetwork.com.
And now, back to a bald host that doesn't get any respect, Chris Sheeran.
Life ain't easy.
I mean, nothing works, sir. You got to start to look out for number one, and I step to number two.
Oh, I tell you, I get no respect. I don't have my tie on yet, but I will soon. For BP TV. It's time now in our last segment to have a little fun and discuss what we did on the road this past Monday and Tuesday. We went to Trenton Monday night. Then we followed it up by a raucous evening with your parents in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Yes, a complete raucous evening.
Then we went to Staten Island, and then we wrapped up the trip in Scranton. So let's break it down, but not give away everything.
Right.
Because you can check out the entire story, which Joe is putting together for yesnetwork.com.
It'll be up probably next week.
It'll be up next week, so you could look forward to that. Just keep coming back to yesnetwork.com and checking it out. But if you want to see video, maybe you'll see it on BP TV or the pregame show in the coming days as well. But let's break down Monday first. Monday, we left Stanford around 2:30.
Right.
We drove all the way to Trenton. We checked that out. We interviewed some players. We won't mention them. You're going to have to check out and see who we interviewed down in Trenton.
Right.
I threw out the first pitch, which you'll also see video of. And then we sat there.
Which, by the way, was a high strike. That's what we're calling it. Calling it a high strike, right?
It was a strike.
Okay, it was a strike. I'm just saying it was letter high.
It was a strike.
It was letter high. So we got an 0-1 count.
Yes. Then we watched some of the game. Did the little speed pitch thing.
Right.
We won't tell how fast I threw.
Okay, but no, it was impressive.
It was okay for a guy that's going to be 36.
It's impressive.
A little over 2 weeks.
I'm not talking, I didn't do it, so you're faster than me.
Then we left Trenton.
Right.
Go to Long Branch.
Yes, where my parents
were. Where Mrs. Oriema had what was supposed to be a meal for two, turned into a meal for 50.
She cooked for the entire United States Army. Unbelievable.
Very delicious dinner. We had chicken breast with
The chicken cutlets.
Chicken cutlet with arugula salad with tomatoes. Mm-hmm. We had asparagus oreganade.
Mm-hmm. And some mashed potatoes.
And some mashed potatoes and some bread.
Mm-hmm.
But as Mrs. A told us, she hates being away from northern New Jersey because the bread you get down where they are now
is not as good.
Not so good.
That was the direct quote from my mother.
It's not so good. Yeah. But the meal was fantastic. If I had to rate it on hotels.com, probably I'd have to say...
Did they get the five diamonds?
Yes. Just as good, if not better, than a Four Seasons accommodations-wise.
Absolutely. And, so nice
and
bed.
And better food. And we had a rental car.
Our big Chevy Cobalt.
Not that.
Oh.
In addition to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We won't tell you what kind of car it was, but let's just say Mr. Oriema is driving in style.
Yes, he is driving a nice car.
And we got to take it out for a spin, so that was nice. Saw the area. What is that area called in Long Branch?
Pier Village.
Pier Village, very nice area. If you're ever down in that way in New Jersey, check it out. Very, very nice area. Right on the beach, which I love. And to the Oriemas, I say thank you. It was a great time.
I will tell them. I will also tell them to listen to this.
Yeah,
because
they have to listen.
They're all over the podcast.
But watching the Yankees with Mr. Oriema with a 7-run lead, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, he gets angry. You know, it's funny. He knows I do the Q&A with Joe Girardi every week. So he tells me to tell Joe Girardi things. So like that
night. How to manage.
Yeah, like that night. I guess, who was it? He left Robertson in the game a little bit too long.
Yeah.
You got to tell Joe. Well, what is he doing here? Get this guy out of the game. Oh yeah, let me call the bat phone. Let me get him on the line in the middle of a game.
I'm sure the manager of the Yankees would be thrilled to have, you know, Joe Oriema Sr. down in Long Branch running a club.
Oh boy. It's very funny watching him watch a game, though.
Had a lovely time with your mom. She's a tremendous human being. Your father's the same. Just a great family, and thank you very much again for taking me in and taking care of me that night. After a great night's sleep,
yeah,
in a very comfortable bed, we got back in the car in our Chevy Cobalt.
Yes.
The little engine that could.
Yes, our red Chevy Cobalt.
A little four-cylinder that was pushed to the limits.
The astronauts doing the spacewalk could see our car from space.
And they could probably moonwalk faster than that car. But we got in the car, we went to Staten Island, we didn't hit any traffic.
Which was amazing.
We got there around 9:45.
Right.
The stadium is beautiful. I mean, and I talked to the players about it there and how cool it is to be starting off their Yankee careers in Staten Island. And, you know, when they're up at bat, all they have to do is look beyond center field and across the river is where, you know, the penultimate baseball fantasy for them would be. And that's playing in the Bronx and playing for the Yankees. So the field is tremendous. We had a great time. It was really hot.
Oh, my God. It was disgusting.
You should have saw Joe sweat. He was sweating like a...
Oh, boy.
I can't come up with anything clean.
I was like a fat kid in dodgeball.
But that's derogatory, and people have a problem with that. People with thick skin, especially, you know, the people at Joe.
Listen,
just
let me put it this way: I'm not Bodies by Jake right now,
yeah.
So
there you go.
I take no offense
there
to
you go. Sweating like a fat kid in dodgeball or a weak kid in Red Rover.
Yeah, seriously,
we call Joe over, and you know he gets clotheslined, but. We had fun in Staten Island. We talked to some players there, too. And these kids, let me tell you about these kids. They, you know, you go to the different teams. The Scranton Yankees know us. We've been to spring training.
Yes.
A lot of those guys are at spring
training.
Mike
Vanderwood and that crew over there.
Thank you very much, Mike.
And the players, we know all of them. You know, Shelly Duncan
recognized us. And, you know, it's easy with them. There's no stress. They're not with the big club. They're not being run around. And, you know, there's not too much to do.
Right.
So they can talk to us and they have fun with us.
I mean,
and
Frankie Cervelli had a 25-minute conversation.
And that was after the interview we had with him on camera. I mean, it's like he didn't want to leave. He was just having so much fun talking to us. It's those times that you just treasure for the rest of your professional life. And that's why I love covering minor league teams and why we're going to go back.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go back to Staten Island because those kids, you know, they're 22, 21, 20, 19 years old. They see a camera And guess what? They want to talk.
No, it's true.
You know, they're usually you're afraid to ask questions of the pros because, you know, they've been there before and so many great reporters have been there before you. These kids went up to their media relations guy, John.
John McCutcheon. John McCutcheon. Good guy.
And John says, you know, they're coming up to me and saying, what if we say the wrong things? We're
it's,
scared.
It's
what
amazing.
What are they going to ask us? And we were just like, dude, this is a layup. I mean, I just went and we had fun. That was the basic premise of this trip. We weren't like asking them serious questions about, hey, on a 3-2 pitch, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Why did you pull this one out of the
game? It was, where are you from? Where'd you go to college?
Yeah, this was a get to know you with the Staten Island
Yankees.
What's
your favorite movie?
And basically, it was a get to know them for us, too, because unfortunately, we don't get to get out there much because, you know, our focus is mainly put on the big club.
Right.
But we're gonna rectify that, and we're going to try to get out to Staten Island again and try to put something together where I'm a Staten Island Yankee for a day, and I get to go through the motions with them and work out with them. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Tuesday, the Staten Island day was our big day. I mean, we traveled a lot.
Well, after Staten Island, we got back in the car.
So we've gone from Long Branch that morning to Staten Island, and then we got back in the car.
And we're going to Scranton now.
Oh, boy.
And we gotta send a shout-out to Lola.
Yes.
The GPS.
She was great.
The woman is fantastic.
She got us everywhere we needed to go. This is what Chris calls his Garmin. Calls her Lola because she's got the voice. And she's telling us, you know, where to go, where to make turns.
Lola has a nice voice.
Yes.
She never yells at me unless she's recalculating. but she got us to where we needed to go. Scranton, the ride there was great. We listened to XM, Sirius XM. We listened to Raw Dog, the comedy.
Comedy station. We were
heard
laughing.
Heard Eddie Murphy, some old school Eddie Murphy.
Oh my God, it was sweet.
We can't repeat anything.
Chris and I were... That was a funny trip.
Yeah, it was. It was, because when, you know, the humor ran out of Joe and myself, we had to turn on, you know, the professionals. And
let me ask you something, Mr. Wally. Do you know that smell in the car from traveling with your kids? Oh, I know that smell. that was kind of the car.
That was pretty much it. But we went to Scranton, and we talked to some players. I think we let the cat out of the bag. We talked to Frankie Cervelli.
Yeah.
We also talked to couple other people as well, and you'll see this all next week at some point when Joey's done editing this, you know, mile-long 2-day trip that we did on tape.
You threw out the two first pitches. You throw out the first pitch in Trenton. You throw out the first pitch in Staten Island.
Which so was high.
The count is 1-1
yeah,
right
now.
Yeah,
it probably would have plunked the right
so now, better. The people in Scranton...
But I didn't bounce it.
You didn't bounce it. The people in Scranton are not going to have you throw out the first pitch.
No, they didn't.
So what they did was they did something special. They wanted to include me in on the...
And it's hilarious, and you'll see it when you watch
yes,
it later.
Yes, so Chris and I did a...
We had a competition.
We had a little competition.
And let's just say the guy that still plays baseball didn't win it.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, my section went nuts when...
Yeah, the first base side went nuts, and the third base side wanted to basically... throw what was being shot at me because I lost.
Yes.
But it wasn't my fault, I will say that. It was the guy shooting these things who messed up the first one, and then, you know, it was all downhill.
Right. Again, you're going to have to watch to see what the thing is.
It was a great trip. We made it back. We started our day leaving Long Branch at 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning.
And our day ended at midnight back in the same driveway where it started on Monday. On Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a long day, long ride. We were in the car for a total, I checked the stats, 9 hours and 36 minutes total over the 2 days.
We covered over first, 500 miles.
First pitch to first pitch was officially 24 hours, and the total trip was 2:30 in the afternoon to midnight, so just under 36 hours. So about 34 and a half hours. It was a heck of a trip, man.
Yeah, it was
I would
great.
Do it,
was a
it
great
again.
Idea. It was all Mr. Oriyama, who of course is the godfather of YesNetwork.com. And guess what, Joe?
What?
That's going to wrap up another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. We hope you enjoyed this one, and we will be back again next week talking about the first place Yankees once again. It's no jinx; they will be still in first place, and it'll be on the verge of the next series. With the Boston Red Sox, so we'll have plenty to talk about. Hopefully, the Mets can continue their winning ways. Johan Santana's next up in their four-game winning streak, and that's taking place Wednesday night. So we'll see if they could stretch that to five. Still 10.5 games behind the Phillies, and the Yankees still 2.5 games up on the Boston Red Sox in the American League East. That's where we leave it this week. Who knows what the week ahead will bring, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. Joey and I will be all over it, and we'll talk to you about it next Wednesday. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com.
Log on to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web, and come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Shear.